Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you that you open our hearts and our minds, that we would listen to your voice, O Lord, as we hear this that you want to talk to us about. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was young, you would never see me alone. You will always see me with my brother Augustine. Now, Grace Covenant doesn't know my brother Augustine, but my brother Augustine is very different than I am. He is smaller, tinier, skinnier, but he's also very different in the way he acts and the way he behaves. He always was, in a sense, the black sheep of the family. But my brother taught me a lesson that I will never forget. When I was in fifth grade and he was in fourth grade, we got hooked by this game called Magic Cards. It's a game that many of you might know about, but we always wanted to find the right card to beat the game. There were multiple cards and you would have to buy cards. Fifth graders don't have much money. So we found out that it was very easy to steal the cards from the Quickie Mart right across the street, pretty much. For months, we had stolen cards. Eventually, one day, both my mother and my father found out that we had more cards than they had ever bought. And they were wondering why we had so many cards. My brother took the full blame and said it was him who had done it, who had stolen the cards. In a sense, he was my redeemer that day. Today, as we look at the passage, we will look at what a redeemer is, and we will look at how a redeemer works. Because ultimately, this is the way that God has created for us to come to him. Let us open our Bibles to Luke 1, 68. The Word of God says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them." This passage is situated right at the beginning of the praise that Zechariah the priest would say after he had been completely muted for 9 months because he did not believe in God. He couldn't believe that God would bring him and his wife a son. And so after going into the temple to burn incense, he saw an angel who told him the prophecy, and he couldn't believe it. The angel told him, "You would not be able to talk." And after 9 months, he finally was able to talk. And he starts his song, his praise, with this passage. As we look at the passage, we will see that it tells us a lot about how God wants us to react to his act of redemption. Now, I want to do something that I usually don't do. I want to flip the passage a little bit. In a sense, I want to start with the second part of the sentence and end with the first part of the sentence. In other words, I would like to read the passage this way. "Because he has come to his people and redeemed them, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel." God has come to his people. Since the beginning, since the day that Adam and Eve sinned and separated themselves from God, God's desire has always been to be a part of his people. He started with individuals like Noah and Abraham, and eventually came to a nation to be with his people. In Exodus, we see that when Moses was finally done with building the tabernacle, a cloud came down from heaven so that God could be with his people. And it was a picture, a beautiful picture of how God's desire to be with his people was there. Later on, we read in 1 Kings that God still wanted to be with his people when they decided to build the temple. Another cloud came, the same cloud came to the temple because God wanted to be with his people. At the culmination of history, God sent his son, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God wants to be with his people. As we see how in history, God's desire has always been to be with his people, we look at how the church has always been a part of that Israel. The Lord God of Israel. We read, for example, that in Romans 11, Paul says that we are grafted in to Israel. Us, the church. Us, the Gentiles. We become part of Israel. Spiritually. But this allowed God to be with us as well. He sends his Holy Spirit to be within us. He wants to be with his people. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." God is in us. The Holy Spirit is God. And he wants to be in us. When we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, at that moment, God is with us. And throughout our lives, we are no longer alone. Now, God chose a specific format for him to be with us. See, the Bible says that we are slaves to sin. And there is an owner that keeps us away from God. And so the way that God decided to be with us, to be connected to us, is through redemption. The word redemption literally means to pay a price for something or someone. To redeem it. In ancient history, in ancient times, the people who would be redeemed were only three types of people. General slaves, war slaves, or war prisoners, and women. As we read, or we will read eventually in Ruth 4, how she is redeemed as well. Redemption was the act of paying a price for someone. Every single time somebody pays the price for you, that person is in essence redeeming you. The idea is better understood when you think about when somebody kidnaps a person and asks for a ransom. That ransom, the person that gives that ransom so that you could be freed from that person who kidnapped you, is your redeemer. He has paid the price for you. Now, God chose to be our Redeemer in the person of Jesus Christ. And he paid the price, and a heavy price at that. Our Lord died for us. See, the penalty of sin is death. And it is required for a person to be free from it. And so Christ came into this world with the sole purpose to die for his people, to redeem them, to pay the price. The price for sin. As Romans 6, 5 through 11 tells us, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we will no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. God has redeemed us from sin through his Son, so that we would no longer live in sin. God wants us to free us from the grasp of sin. It is sad that many of us think that because God has redeemed us, we are allowed to sin. Paul makes it clear in Romans 6, not to sin. Because we are a new creation in Christ, one that is not meant to sin. How can we go back to our enslaver? How can we go back to that sinfulness that we had committed multiple times in our lives? God has freed us. We must then live like free people, redeemed people. But God has not only freed us from sin, he has also redeemed us from the law itself. Romans 7, 1 through 6 says, or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. And if she married another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, arose by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of written code. The law was also enslaving us, my brothers and sisters. Nobody can or will be saved by the law. We can only come to repentance through Christ, and only through him we can come to the fulfillment of the law, because we are in him. When we are in Christ, since he cannot sin and has never sinned, God accounts that to us as righteousness for us. And that is the gospel, my brothers and sisters, that we are no longer bound by the law. Now, this does not mean that we continue to sin. It means the complete opposite. Since we are no longer bound by the law, we can be free to do good works and do the will of God. God's people were the ones to be redeemed. And he did this because he wanted us to be his called people, his loved people. He wanted to have an intimate relationship with him. Evangelicals use this quite often. You must have an intimate relationship with God. But what does that mean? How does that happen? It can only happen through a sentiment, a constriction of the heart, a repentance of our sin. Can only happen by our own gratitude towards God. As we go back to the passage, it says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel." This is the attitude of the Christian. We are redeemed people, and therefore we must act in praise and worship towards God. How do we praise him? Well, first, with our obedience. We praise God with how we obey him. John 14:15 says, "If you love me," this is Jesus speaking, "you will keep my commands." God wants praise through our daily obedience to him. Not because that will save us, but because we are grateful that he has redeemed us. Not because that would keep us away from hell and the fire, but because we are grateful that we can actually be in an intimate relationship with him. That is the purpose of redemption. Redemption is bringing somebody out of slavery into your own. Being part of that family. We are no longer called servants, but we are called friends. We are called brothers and sisters. We are part of his children now. That is the imagery that God gives to the redeemed. And we must do that and live that in obedience. Romans 12:1-2 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." This is the way we live a Christian life. This is how we redeem people. Live obedient. If we are not obedient, then we are not grateful as Christians. Ultimately, God will judge us because of our gratefulness as well. This is important for us, my brothers and sisters. Living the Christian life isn't just doing whatever we want. We are now slaves of Christ. We also praise God with our words when we preach the gospel. This is how we praise God. Romans 1, 16 through 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Redemption is what gives us the ability to preach the gospel. Without redemption, there is no gospel. We cannot be ashamed of what God has given us. We must proclaim it. We must preach it to the world. That is what God wants of us. And that shows our gratitude towards God. Because God's desire is to redeem his people. And he has made us a part of that redemption as preachers of the gospel. We are called then to preach the gospel to everyone so that the people of God may find the word of God which redeems them through the work of the Holy Spirit. Finally, we praise God with our exercise of our gifts. When we come to God in the church and we allow him to work in us so that we can do good works within the church. He wants us to be working, exercising our spiritual gifts so that the church will continue to grow, so that the church will continue to expand, so that the gospel will continue to be proclaimed. Whatever our gift is, we must exercise it in an act of gratitude. God wants us to be grateful. As all of you know, in the United States, Thanksgiving is coming up. And it is a time to say thanks. In my family, we usually go around the table and we say our gratitude towards God for all the things that he's done that year. But in all truthfulness, that shouldn't be a one-day thing. We should always live grateful lives. God wants us to be grateful because we are redeemed people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, praising you and thanking you that we are redeemed people. We ask you, Lord, that you help us to live like such. We praise you because we know you give us the power to do it through your Holy Spirit and through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.